As of November 5th, 2020, 167,804 people in prisons across the United States of America have tested positive for COVID-19. 1,386 of those individuals have died. This reporting piece is part of a collaboration between WNIN and the University of Evansville called COVID Between the Coasts. Students reporting on this segment are Ben Godden and Maddie Jessup. Their work had them interviewing officials and incarcerated individuals in numerous Midwest states. The students became interested in the topic after researching other close space areas, such as nursing homes or cruise ships. But even in nursing homes, a lot of states mandate to have at least 80 square feet of space per residence. And on cruise ships, an 85 square foot room is considered pretty tight. But in prison facilities, especially the older ones, you're talking 48 square feet on average. Now, the American Correctional Association standards call for a minimum of 70 square feet, but again, a lot of the older ones are just about 48 square feet. So we're talking a much smaller space than, say, nursing homes or cruise ships. We also know the U.S. penal population is the largest in the world. So that made the students curious about what's going on in the Midwest prisons during COVID and what those close quarter spreads really look like.
Like once a virus comes into the institution, the way that it's designed and built, like mass amounts of people are going to catch it. It's just the way it is.
That's Jason Thompson, an incarcerated person at Marion Correctional Institution in Central Ohio, serving a life sentence for several counts of aggravated murder. As of November 1st, 1,922 prisoners have tested positive for COVID-19 at Marion, including Jason. 12 of the individuals have passed on. Chris Gouts, the spokesperson for the Michigan Department of Corrections, says as we learn more about the virus, they're working hard to ensure the correct measures are in place to prevent recurrences.
Now moving a little bit more into the testing process area. When we're talking about the testing process, we were talking to some prisoners at a prison in Ohio where there was a hotspot, and they went through and talked about how they had voiced some concerns for the medical staff not changing their gloves when going through the procedure and talking about distancing before and after the testing. Can you just talk a little bit about the testing process and how everything's gone with like the medical staff and how they proceeded with their testing?
Continued to do testing daily. Anytime a prisoner is moved, anytime a prisoner goes off-site to like the hospital or to a court hearing or something like that, or if they have to be transferred for some reason, even though that we have quite limited the number of transfers that we typically do in a day or in a month. So anytime a prisoner leaves that facility for whatever reason, they're tested and then isolated until we find out the results. We also are doing testing whenever there's a, you know, they think that they may have symptoms. We test one of our facilities in our Upper Peninsula, where at one point that facility has about 327 employees, and more than 200 of the employees at one point or another were not able to come to work because they were either positive themselves or they came in close contact with a positive and had to go off work.
From Jason's perspective, his main concern at his prison in Ohio centers around what he says is an inability to follow the CDC's recommended protocols of social distancing while being incarcerated.
You know, like in the dorm area, the spacing between the beds, how it's recommended that it be, you know, that we stay socially distant, like 6 feet apart, where each bed is mainly about 4 feet apart, sometimes 3 feet apart between beds. Can you imagine that?
Jason's self-described honorary uncle and fellow inmate, 64-year-old David Brown Harris, was hospitalized and left on a ventilator for weeks in the ICU battling the coronavirus.
This is like steel being in a can of sardines.
This call is originating from an Ohio correctional facility and may be recorded and monitored.
This is getting ready to be like having a family reunion with doing Thanksgiving.
Overcrowding of prisons and not having the space to socially distance is not the inmate's only concern. Jason also expressed concerns over how the tests were administered.
I noticed that the nursing staff didn't change their gloves in between each individual test. A test could have been contaminated, well, the results could have been made to be positive because of the lack of changing of gloves, but the person actually could have been negative, so numbers could have been inflated.
Jason questions his own test, in fact.
Believed that my test was positive, even though that they said I was originally negative, that it came back that I was negative, and then almost a day later, they returned and said that they had made a mistake and that I was positive.
He believes that the lack of changing the gloves could have something to do with his test resulting in a false negative. Melissa Thompson, a COVID-19 test administrator at Deaconess Hospital in Indiana, confirmed the possibility for a false negative or positive to occur if gloves weren't changed by the test administrator after each test. Part of the issue may be what Brown-Harris says is a systematic flaw inherent with large group facilities.
This system isn't designed to help us. It isn't designed to treat us.
All Midwesterners interviewed for the story, whether prison officials, incarcerated individuals, or healthcare workers, are hopeful we're more knowledgeable now and will be more prepared should another wave occur. The spokesman for the Michigan Department of Corrections echoed this.
But I mean, I think what we've learned just from experiencing this and going through it for the last, 9 months now, of how important it is to continually remind staff and prisoners of the importance of the basics of wearing a mask, washing your hands, social distancing, because it only takes one, when you work and live in a congregate setting, it only takes one case for it to really explode and sometimes cripple a facility and their ability to work in that environment.
He would certainly know, as Michigan's system was hit hard. As of November 5th, 2020, 7,298 prisoners tested positive, and 74 of those prisoners have passed away due to COVID-related illness in the state of Michigan. There are only 5 states that have had more prisoner positives and 3 states that have had more deaths due to COVID-19. In an effort to learn more about the virus, Michigan's Parnell Correction Institution has partnered with Wayne State University to do antibody testing for all prisoners who are interested in participating in the study.
Almost all of the prisoners at that prison, all but 30 as of today, have tested positive. And that was a facility that as of probably about 3 weeks ago, didn't have any cases at all.
The Michigan and Ohio prison systems that we looked into, like a lot of others in the Midwest, are doing their part to do better. And that's our goal by sharing this information with you. We collect data, we talk to people, learn and prepare ourselves better for these situations as we face future waves of the pandemic. After all, the Midwest is the centerpiece of the United States of America's dining room table. As Thanksgiving approaches, we're reminded of our thanks to that centerpiece, you, the people who surround the table.